All right. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Les, but there's more of me. You know, that's an old joke, you know that? It is so old, you know? My family heard it like a million times, I tell you. A million times. So I'm one of the leaders here at Niagara Worship Center, and have also the privilege of being the church treasurer. And I tell you, I think Pastor Tim shared, the last time he shared, was that we've seen a breakthrough in our finances, amen, since COVID. So give God praise and glory for that, amen, amen. Well, let's break the ice a little bit, because I know many of you are new and you don't know me, and for those of you who do know me, I like a bit of a humor, all right? So do you want a couple of jokes? Can I? Is Bill Sterling in the house today? Oh, so Bill critiques my jokes, so I got to be very careful with this one, all right. Okay, so there's a kindergarten teacher who wanted to explain to a class about self-esteem. She said to the class, "Anyone who thinks they are dumb, stand up," hoping that none of them would stand and make, and that so she would make the point that no one is really dumb. At that time, little Johnny stood up, and she said to herself, "Oh no, what am I going to say?" So she turned to Johnny and said, "Johnny, do you really think you're dumb?" He said, "No, man. I just hate to see you standing there all by yourself." Bill, thumbs up? All right. One more? One more? Okay, one more. One more. Heard about this couple who had been married for almost 60 years. You heard it right. 60. And they never had an argument. Any one of those in the room today? No. So at a church function, someone asked the man the secret of their marriage, or the secret of their success. He said, "That's easy. He always treated her with respect," which, guys, we ought to treat our wives with respect. "And he always took her on trips around the world." He said, in fact, for their 25th wedding anniversary, he took her to Beijing, China. The crowd applauded. And then someone asked him, "So what did you do for your 50th wedding anniversary?" He said, "That's easy. I went back and I picked her up." Did you get that? Bill, thumbs up? Okay, Bill gave me the thumbs up, so I'm good. I am good. All right. Everyone having fun this morning? Having fun this morning? All right. So when we want to be tactful with other people, meaning you want to tell that person the truth in a way that you don't really want to hurt their feelings or reactions, but you want to get your point across. For example, we may preference our statements with an encouraging sentence or comment. For example, we might say to our spouse, and sorry, I'm picking on spouses today, okay? Is that okay? All right? We might say to our spouse, "Honey, I love you, but I don't like your attitude." No, sweetheart, this is not you, okay? This is not you, babe, all right? 32 years, we just celebrated. 32 years of marriage. Come on. 32 years. So the word "but," B-U-T, in a sentence, cancels out anything that was said before. Now, this is a little English class, as you can see. In other words, "I love you, but loving you does not count because I don't like your attitude." Now, if we change the sentence around, what do we get? We get a totally different meaning. Now we say that I don't like your attitude, but I love you. It only matters that I love you despite your attitude. So the but that comes after cancels everything that comes before. In the English language, but is called a conjunction, and it means on the contrary. And it's used to indicate contrasts and opposition between different elements in a sentence. And you may say, Les, that's deep, that's profound. And I'll say, I just Googled it. I was never an English person, more of a math and science person. But that's what but does. And as powerful as that little word is, a three-letter word, but, it becomes even more powerful, infinitely powerful, when connected to another three-letter word. And that word is G. Come on, finish it. O-D. But God. And these two words together appears 45 times in the Bible. And some of the verses contain mighty statements and promises about God's intervention in the affairs of our lives. Some common verses are Romans 5 and verse 8. And it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Acts 13, 29 to 30, it says, and when they fulfilled all things that were written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. Speaking about the glorious day when Christ rose from the dead. You see the words, but God. It's God's response to Satan's challenge. Let's think about that for a sec. It's the bottom line. It's the final say. Because you know who has the final say? As children, as men, and as women, boys and girls of God. Do you know have the final say? But God. God has the final say. You see, those two words stands totally opposed to the negativity of the world. When the world says no, but God says yes. When the world says can't, God says can. When the world says won't, but God says will. When the world says defeat, God says victory. Amen. Amen. But folks, too many times we look at things through our own eyes and we can only see failure when we look at things through our own eyes. But God tells us to look at things as he sees things. See, we got to put our kingdom glasses on and see what God sees about us, to see what we can do in the kingdom of God. And the title of my message today, and you probably guessed it by now, is But God, dot, dot, dot. Now, there's a method to the madness of that title, especially the dot, dot, dot. You see, if you are receptive this morning and allow this message to speak to you, my hope is that your faith is going to be stirred up, so much stirred up in you, that you will never forget these two powerful words, but God. And you'll be able to replace those dots that come after those two words with specific truths that would allow you to face the mountains and the giants in our lives. How many of us have those mountains and giants in our lives? You see, I'm confident that you will be able to say with your head lifted high, the fact is that there are mountains, that there are giants in my life. But God, the same God who positioned the earth in the correct position in the universe, who angled it correctly at a 23 degree angle, closer to the sun, we would all disintegrate, and a few degrees further, we would all freeze. That same God, the same God, is able to move our mountains and our giants. Amen? Amen. Now, throughout this message, there may be references to biblical characters. There may be references to world icons. But let me tell you this. There's only one name. One name and one name alone that is to be glorified and exalted this morning. And that is the name of Jesus. Amen? In the name of Jesus. Why? Turn with me to Philippians 2, 9 and 11. Pull out those Bibles, pull out those electronic devices and turn to Philippians 2, 9 to 11. And it says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the nature that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Amen. One name and one name at all to be glorified. It's not the preacher. It's not the worship team. But one name alone needs to be glorified this morning. And one of the things that keeps me rooted in God in every season of my life is to know that Christ took my place on the cross. And then this simple reminder that we can take with us to the next level in our walk with Christ and in our entire life. When I look back and I see what God has done in my life, I get so excited. And I'm excited this morning to know that God can do the same for all of us. That God can do wonders in our lives because of those two words, but God. But God. You see, I believe when we lose focus of what God did for us by sacrificing his one and only son, one who was without sin, one who was blameless, who did no wrong, but had to go through the pain and the agony of the cross. Once we lose the focus of that, we lose the focus of the opportunity that the blessings can come. Once we lose focus of what he did, because it's a result of what he did on the cross that opens up our victories, that opens up the wins in our lives, that opens up great and mighty things for us. You see, every whipping that he received was for us. Every piece of flesh that was torn from his body was for us. It was all for us. And every drop of blood that he shed was for us. And I'm going to get personal now. Every drop of blood that was shed, it was for me. It was for me. So what's the theological significance of "but God" that we need to understand before we unlock the blessings? Well, it's found in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 5. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 5. Let me go through it. And it says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." It's talking about us. "All of us, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Lest the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved." And it's very important, folks, for us to understand this. You see, we were all headed down a collision course. We violated God's holiness. We disobeyed God's commands. We rejected God's authority. We rejected God's will. And we ignored God's warnings. But here's the good news. But God, being a merciful God, intervened on our behalf. Yes, great was the death, but even richer was the mercy. I heard a preacher say, "Don't put an item on the sales counter if you don't have money in the bank to pay for it." He was giving a little tip on financial wisdom here. I'm talking about getting in debt. But this is the good news about the mercy of God. It does not matter how big the debt of sin is or was. God got enough mercy in the bank to cover all our sins, because he is rich in mercy. Brother Joe said it. I couldn't say it better. I almost told Joe, "Keep preaching, brother. I can sit down and listen because you're going to preach the sermon." Talked about it. When we look at ourselves and we think we're nobody, when we think of ourselves and we think we're lower than someone, but God says, on the contrary, "You belong to me because I purchased you with the precious blood of Jesus. So you belong to me." Paul, that's a nice watch. Can I buy it from you? You'll give it to me. Okay. If Paul's agreed to sell me that watch, and it is a nice watch, folks. It is a nice watch. I might take you up on that. If we made a pact and we said, "Okay, I'll give you $5,000. I'll give you $5,000 for that watch. You'll sell it." Can we knock off 2 zeros there? If we made a pact And I say, okay, I'll give you 5,000 for that. Then that watch becomes mine. You can't come back and say, you didn't pay for that. I paid for it. I give you a receipt. I have evidence that I paid for it because I got a receipt. The same way, God, in his mercy, paid the price for our sins by the blood of Jesus. And there are so many evidences to prove that. The time wouldn't allow me to get into it. But what I want you to grasp is that the price of sin was paid by the blood of Jesus. The crown of thorns that he wore on his head. The nails that were hammered into his hands and his feet was for me. And the cross he carried all the way. And the same cross that he hung and died on was for me. He did it all for me. Let me ask you to do something now. I'm going to come down to be closer to you. I want everyone across this room to close your eyes. Go ahead and just close your eyes. If you have little kids and you have to watch them, that's fine. But close your eyes. And I want you to roll the clock back to the day that Jesus was crucified on the cross. And I want you to picture yourself at the foot of that cross. And you're looking up to him. And he's saying to you, I love you. And he's calling you by name. And he's saying, Les, I love you. Ken, I love you. Paul, I love you. Susie, I love you. And then picture the blood dripping and falling to the ground. And then he turns to you and say, Paul, Ben, Susie, this blood is for you. This blood is for you. Now I want you to take that picture. Take a snapshot of that picture and store it in one of the cells in your mind. Amen? You got the picture? Everyone got the picture? Let's open our eyes. Folks, we should never lose focus of what God did for us. Because that picture that you just created in your own mind, not in someone else's mind, that perfect picture is God's love to you. And you will need that picture to carry you not only through your spiritual walk, but through your daily walk and through your practical walk. You see, there's the theological significance of those two words, but God. But I also want you to realize that there's the practical significance of but God as well. But it starts with us understanding and getting that picture of what Jesus or what God did for us at the cross. There's an old gospel song. And those of us who have been around for some time would know it. It's written in the late 1800s by a great preacher and composer by the name of Robert Lowry. And this song is still sang in many churches across the globe. And it captures the very essence of the sacrificial price that was paid on the cross. And the words of that song still echoes in the hearts of many today. Many people. Now, those of you who have been around, help me out here. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's go now, going higher. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Other found I know, nothing but the blood. Come on, give yourself a round of applause. That was great. Nothing but the blood of Jesus to make us whole. Amen? And it is said that God's love for us is summed up in one verse in the Bible that depicts the greatest love story ever told. Who can guess what that one verse is? John 3:16. Liz, if I had a prize, I'd give you the prize this morning. Oh, you can still take it. Oh. John 3:16. And we can all recite it because I'm sure in our kindergarten days and our Sunday school, that was probably the first verse that we learned. John 3:16. Let's put it up there. For God so loved the world that he gave, freely. He didn't ask us for any money. He didn't ask us for anything material. That he gave his only one and only Son. That whosoever, and this is the greatest condition, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, God, the eternal creator, the all-powerful, the all-knowing sustainer of life, loves the world even with all our failures and faults. He still loves us. And he proved it with an action by sacrificing his son Jesus on the cross and saved us from eternal damnation. He provided a path for our salvation. You see, God gave us his best so that we can have the best. And I want you to remember that. You say, Les, you're talking about the death of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's the foundation. That's what we need to realize, is because he died on the cross, because God made that sacrifice, then we can have the blessings, that we can put that "but God" next to any negative situation in our lives. Diane Warren, songwriter, record producer, and musician, wrote a love song that she dedicated to her father for his love, for taking care of her and protecting her. It was sung by many artists across the globe, including Canadian idol Celine Dion, which went on
to win many awards and top the billboards back in the late 1990s. And the lyrics of that song titled, "Because You Love Me," captured the very essence of a loving and caring father that just wanted the best for his daughter. And allow me to share some of the lyrics of this song. "For all the times you stood by me, for all the truth that you made me see, for all the joy you brought in my life, for all the wrong that you made right, for every dream you made come true, for all the love I found in you, I'll be forever thankful. You're the one who held me up, never let me fall. You're the one who saw me through it all. You were my strength when I was weak. You were my voice when I couldn't speak. You were my eyes when I couldn't see. You saw the best in me. You lifted me up when I couldn't reach. You gave me faith because you believed. I'm everything that I am because you love me. And maybe I don't know that much, but this I know much is true. I am blessed because I was loved by you." Hallelujah. You know, I took those lyrics and I'm just reminded of a loving and caring Heavenly Father who not only rescued us from a life of sorrow, guilt, and shame, but God, my Heavenly Father, has now equipped me to live a life of joy, a life of peace, and a life of blessings. And folks, again, it is because of what he did on the cross for us. We may be facing circumstances today that we just don't understand why it's happening. But understanding, but God, we can boldly say, "I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't know why, but God, he knows." You see, he is the author of my story. He is the author of your story. And yes, the enemy may get editing rights to your script or your story, but God will finish your story. God knows how it ends. God has a plan and purpose for all our lives. God has the final say in my story. Why? Because I accept that he died on the cross, paid the price of my sin to unlock the blessings of all the blessings he has for me. You see, if we don't understand that, then we can't confidently say, "But God," we have to understand what he has done. And once we understand that, we can lift our head high and say, regardless of what's going on in my life, regardless of the situation. Although I don't understand it, I don't know why, but I know that God knows, because all things are possible with God. And He has my life in the palm of His hand. You see, God knows what you're going through. Now, God doesn't orchestrate the bad things that happens in our lives. He doesn't. But He will go through the storms with us. And those bad things, guess what? He's going to take those bad things and make it good. Make it for good. Amen. In January 18th, 2010, amateur bowler Bill Fung, he was just three rolls away from perfection. Now, for those of you who don't know bowling, it's 10 pins. You throw a ball about, 20 feet, 30 feet, somewhere. You throw a ball, and you have to knock the 10 pins down. So Bill Fung, he was just three rolls away from a perfect score and making history. And a perfect three round is 900 points. And in the world, there's only been 21 perfect series. After bowling 33 consecutive strike, and again, a strike is when you bowl once and you knock all 10 pins down. After 33 consecutive strikes, Bill walked up, bowled another strike, and then he rolled another in frame 35, and the crowd went wild. But something was wrong. Two frames before, Bill had begun sweating profusely and started to feel dizzy, but he was just one roll away from making history. One roll away. Bill pulled the ball to his chest, took his usual five steps, and released the ball perfectly. People actually started to clap even before the ball got to the pins, because he was so good and so precise. The ball curved exactly where it was supposed to, made exact contact with the pins where it was supposed to, at precisely the right spot. Pins flew all over, pins flew. The 10th pin, I can only find orange. The 10th pin, there it is. There's a white one. This was the last pin to fall. The 10th pin wobbled, and then it set back on its base. The 10th pin didn't fall. Mr. Fung was devastated. 899 score. One pin away from perfection. So heartbroken, Bill headed home. The dizziness that started at frame 34, two frames before, had not improved. Bill started in his bathroom and he threw up. The walls around him started spinning. Then Bill fell asleep. And when he woke up the next morning, he realized that he had just suffered a stroke. Later in 2010, He had open heart surgery at just the age of 46. He survived at just a 70% chance that he wouldn't. The doctors told him that the only thing that saved his life was on the night that the 10th pin stayed up. Had that last pin fallen, the doctor said his body, already in the midst of a stroke, would have pushed his blood pressure so high that most likely it would have killed him immediately. You see, what he thought was the worst thing that could ever happen to him, the most awful thing after he rolled 899 pins, the last one to fall, the worst thing he thought could happen to him actually saved his life. And sometimes, folks, the things we think are bad are only bad to us. But God has a different perspective. Bad things do happen. Yes, they do. For various reasons. But know this. When those things happen, but God will use whatever bad situation that may take place in our lives and turn it around for His glory, for His honor. Amen. He will. He will. Amen. Now, my wife has a great testimony. I told her to write a book. It'll be the bestseller. She has an amazing testimony. And I'm not going to share it today. I think I shared it a few years ago when I preached on hope. But as a teenager, you know, she went through a lot of storms in her life. But she had a but God experience. From going from empty kitchen cupboards, from a life of pain and suffering, from a life of being in need, going from that situation to a life where she's helping fill cupboards now of less fortunate, helping to put a roof over family members and helping those in need. It was a but God experience. So folks, don't tell me that your situation cannot change. Don't tell me that your situation is permanent. Don't tell me that God can't change your situation, because I'm here to tell you, God can, but God can, but God will. If we ever needed a message that helped us to believe that what we see is no match for what God sees and has spoken, folks, we need it now. If ever we needed to believe that where we start doesn't have to be where we finish, we need it now. And it is said amongst many Bible scholars that Romans 8:28 is the greatest promise in the Bible. And what I want you to do is take that scripture and hold it to your chest and never, never let it go. And we know that in all all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And who is called today? Who is called? We are. We are called. You heard me say this a few times, but it's worth repeating. And if you have a pen and paper, I would write it down or type it in your phones. God may not prevent us or prevent us, yes, from coming to the Red Sea where there's nowhere to go. You can't turn back. You can't go to the left. You can't go to the right. You can only go forward, but there's a body of water. He may not prevent us from coming to the Red Sea, but God will path the sea for us to get to the other side. Just like the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he may not prevent us from being thrown into the fiery furnace, but he will not let the fire harm us. And just like Daniel, God may not prevent us from being thrown into the lion's den, but I tell you, but God will shut the mouths of the lions. Amen. Are you ready for your but God experience? Are you ready for your but God moment? All we have to do is to believe. Believe that what he did on the cross is enough for us to go on and live a great Christian life. I'm not saying there's not going to be storms. There will be. But because of what he did, we will be able to weather the storms, because God is going to be with us in the storm. What God brings you may not be what you thought, the way you thought, who you thought, but God has something bigger, more rewarding than you can ever imagine. You see, God knows what you need and knows how to get it. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Jeremiah 29:11. This is another scripture to hold close to your chest and never let it go. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. A hope and a future. Folks, you may see a hopeless life in front of you, but God sees a hopeful life. You may only see darkness, but God sees light. He'll make your darkest hour turn into your brightest hour. Hallelujah. As Joe was saying this morning, there's going to be a lot of voices in your head. A lot of voices. But when the enemy reminds us of our past, that we were liars, murderers, cheaters, and I know we can add to the list. Let's just remind the enemy this morning. But God says, my past does not define my future, because the blood of Jesus washed away all my sins. So when people tell you your future does not look good, you tell them, but God tells me that faith is not knowing what the future holds, but who holds the future. Amen. When the medical report looks bad, you say, but God says, Jeremiah 33:6, nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundance, peace, and security. When they tell you that you don't have what it takes, and let me address the young people and the young adults in the room now, because I believe there's a lot of peer pressure on our young people today, folks. Us that are older, let's continue to pray for our young people. They need our prayer. They need our support. So young people, when people in the world tell you that you don't have what it takes to make it in life, you put your head up high and you say, but God says that I can do all things through him that loves me and gave his life for me. Amen. I tell my two girls all the time, and if you ask them, what does your dad always tell you about life and trying to be the best you can? They'll tell you, I always tell them to dream big. Dream big, because you serve a big God. Hallelujah. God did not sacrifice his own son for us to be hopeless. He sacrificed his son for us to be hopeful. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And we sang the worship song earlier. I speak Jesus. I speak Jesus. And the message today is so simple. But we have a choice. And you know what? That is one thing that God will never take away from us, is our freedom to choose. We have one choice today. It's to either apply it or ignore it. But I believe that if we take that picture, remember that picture that you took a snapshot of and you stored it somewhere in there? Somewhere in there? If we take that picture that we created in our minds, portraying the sacrifice that God made for us, and realizing that because of that sacrifice, it empowers us to put a but God after every negative statement that is said about us or to us, after every or any bad condition in our lives, so we can cancel out what was mentioned before. My prayer, my earnest prayer, and I wish you can see my heart this morning, is that we always be able to speak the name of Jesus boldly, so that faith replaces fear. Joy replaces sorrow. Serenity replaces anxiety. Belief replaces unbelief. Trust replaces doubt. And most of all, hope replaces hopelessness. I want us never to lose sight of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That sacrificial death on the cross. Never lose sight of the blood that was shed. Hallelujah. Go ahead right now. Just speak the name of Jesus over your life. Speak the name of Jesus over your life. Every negative thought that came into your mind, you go ahead now and put a butt guard after that. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. The altar is open. If everyone needs prayer, you can make your way up. God bless you as you go. But again, remember that snapshot image. Remember the two most powerful words. And go and put those words after any situation in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.